And gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Sorry for the delay. I was here searching World War III on Google. I'm Googling it. Really. Google is not a verb, just so people know. My wife and my daughter are in the studio.
Being
and
heckled
lady,
the from
studio
behind the
dog.
Camera.
That's right. We have to put up a front, right? You and I have to stick together and put up a front against the women. Google is not a verb. You know, I mean, look, back in the 70s, if somebody said, I Googled her, okay, you know, you kind of knew what that meant. And it's got a different meaning than today. Come on, help me out.
I wasn't alive in
the 70s. There's a coup.
I wasn't alive in the 70s.
The dictionary has been updated.
All right.
You know, you give Jackie just a tad of exposure, and it's like it's all over. Lady the studio dog, she's all upset. She can't contain herself. My wife my wife and Jackie stopped in to bring us dinner. It's a working dinner.
So, Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
Yeah.
The definition of Google is... doesn't make sense. It says, to use the Google search engine to obtain the information... on the worldwide.
So that's a verb. So it's.
Yes, transitive verb.
Transitive verb. No such thing. No such thing. Transitive verb.
You didn't hear? You're out of touch.
Remember, folks, when you diagram sentences? Remember that? How many people do they do that anymore in schools? Diagram sentences? Okay. Some people are out there, some. Diagram sentences, huh? What's that? Well, at least you can do is mic up. I don't see people are looking at me like, "What do you? What did you have a stroke?" I Yahooed it. Is that what you said? No. Yeah, Google is not a. Yeah, exactly. Welcome, folks, to the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Thanks for joining us. Thanks so much for your belief and your trust in us. You know, we have a little bit of fun. If you don't have a little bit of fun, you just go nuts. But seriously, Joe, the World War III is the... there they go, laughing again.
World War III is the what?
Am I allowed to continue? Can we get security in here? All right. Here comes security. All right, thank you. Now, World War III, in all honesty, people are searching that phrase, World War III, more today than ever before, according to the web stats.
Well, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on with North Korea. A lot of news out of North Korea. Just a few of the headlines. There's Chinese troops and medical movements near the North Korean border.
Yep.
A few hundred thousand Chinese troops are on the move around there. Also, there's fresh activity at a North Korean nuclear facility. Apparently, on the 15th, Saturday, North Korea time in the morning, they're going to be launching another nuclear weapons test in a tunnel that they have tested or attempted to test for other...
Something tells me this is not going to end well. And you got the Daily Mail. You got the mail going out, though, Joe. They're telegraphing our SEAL team.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me on what planet this is good for America when you've got the foreign press stating, hey, our SEAL team is out practicing in South Korea, we're getting ready to take out
the military drills weren't nothing secret, and I believe
is that
I
what
don't
they
believe
want?
For a second that
do they want that known?
I don't think it matters. I think that it's being done on purpose. To distract maybe people inside North Korea. There's also,
Kim Jong-un is showing videos, on Atari, the old Atari screens of aircraft carriers blowing up and saying, yeah, that's what we did.
Yep.
It's those people. Bless you.
Preparing for war, North Korea, Kim Jong, orders residents to evacuate Pyongyang immediately. That's another headline from today. But I mean, North Korea has been, we've talked about the rhetoric and the potential for conflict between the U.S. and North Korea for a long time now. China yesterday even issued a message to North Korea saying, knock it off or we will bomb your nuclear facilities. I think we are being primed for
an actual
conflict in Korea. And I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem.
But yesterday you said something different, and I agree with what you said yesterday. I don't know if I agree totally with what you're saying today. I think China is going to take care of North Korea. I think that to me is nothing more than a smokescreen for Syria. I think all eyes need to be on Syria and the Middle East because that's where the resources are. And by the way, folks, after our show tonight, in the morning, first thing in the morning, watch our YouTube channel. Did an absolutely critical interview with former CIA officer and counterterrorism intelligence expert Kevin Shipp. It's going up tomorrow. All right, late tonight, early tomorrow. It's 50 minutes long. Not a wasted word, not a wasted breath in that interview. And if you haven't done so already, I plead, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Joe, they're, and you saw the back end. And we've talked to numerous alternative media hosts. The numbers that you see. For example, when you tune in live, the number that you see on the bottom of the screen. No, it doesn't match the back end. The numbers of subscribers are being held down. That people are being unsubscribed from our channel. We get emails every single day. How did this happen? I got unsubscribed. I checked and, I'm not subscribed to your channel. And I know that there's operator error built in there. However, not at the numbers we're getting. So, also, the demonetization to censor the alternative media. This is no small thing. And this is the way the deep state, which Kevin Shipp very well identifies. It was just a tremendous interview today, and that's going up tomorrow. But the deep state, the operatives, and also the progressives, really, the core communists, shall we say, are attempting to stifle the truth by censoring the content. And one of the ways, of course, is to fiddle with the numbers. Another way is to demonetize things. Make it not advertiser friendly, which they're doing with our shows. Now, it will appear, and this is where you have to go a couple of levels deeper in your investigation. It will appear that things are normal, but it's not normal. It's not. When a channel or when channels in the alternative media, the independent media, Dave Hodges experiencing an 80%. Revenue decline in 30 days. Think about that. Now imagine going to work in the morning. Or imagine going to work and, losing 80% of your income. But, and being asked to work overtime. Or voluntarily working overtime. This is what's happening in the alternative media today. It's being censored. We are being censored. And of course, the search results are being pushed so far down with algorithms, the analytics. For example, I was looking. We had a meeting today, and the backdoor figures. Joe, help me out here with this because without being specific, because the specifics. I feel almost like we'd be giving away, not trade secrets, but open doors for hackers. I don't want to do that. That's kind of what I'm protecting, but we're down 60%.
Our YouTube channel, month by month continues to grow. We have done things like, you know, each show we have anywhere from, you know, two to four or five guests on a show. And
thank you, John Robinson, for doing that.
Is not only posting the whole 3-hour show, but going back and segmenting, separating each individual guest and posting it as a standalone video on itself. So each month that goes by, we're continuing to increase our subscribers. We're continuing to increase our views.
Right.
We're continuing to increase the amount of content on the YouTube channel.
The viewing time as well. All the metrics are on the rise.
And with each additional video, you can have room for additional ads and monetization. Well, and just an example, yesterday, and these figures aren't accurate. We'll just say, that we had $400 in revenue on YouTube. And
which is nowhere near that, so
right. But and then that was 2 days ago, $400. Then, you know, yesterday or one day later, you come in and it says you have $250 in revenue, even though nothing was demonetized, nothing was taken down, nothing right. was paid out. They're just literally removing already earned funds from our channel.
And that's correct. And this is something that I spoke with Dave Hodges on earlier in the week. We had a very intense discussion about. And this is not, again, this is an example for, this is, we're just giving you an example. The numbers are purely submitted for, as examples. 400 one day, 250 the next, everything else remains the same. What's changed?
Right. And you only get to that 400 level by, people that you've already monetized videos and people have already viewed the content. So it's not like it's not projected earnings or revenue. It's revenue that was already there.
Correct. And don't tell, and folks, look, we understand the sliding scale. We understand the back end of YouTube. We understand the view for the last 28 days that changes up and down. We understand all of that. We're talking about already, as you put it, already earned revenue. Mm-hmm. And they're reaching in and grabbing that. And the
no excuses given. Right. No reasons.
Except for, and again, speaking with Dave Hodges, speaking with others in the alternative media, this is across the board that they're doing this, but they're not doing it equally, which that tells me there is a human involvement here. If it was a line of code, for example, you'd be able to identify that, I would think, unless I'm totally wrong, but there's no uniformity to it. Well, there's a level of uniformity, but then there is a few extra punches, shall we say. So that kind of concerns me. The reason we bring this up, we report on Syria. Boy, you can't even have Syria in the title. So perhaps the next video when we talk about Syria or when we talk about Pizzagate, look for titles such as conjugating Latin verbs. Okay? Perhaps, maybe that'll help. Do not, you'll have to, and we're going to do this, we're going to try this out, the independent broadcasters that we spoke with, we're going to try this out, we're going to work on the titles, so you're going to have to look at the title, and you think, okay, what does that really mean? It may not reflect what you think it means. For example, one of our videos, and
I made an ice cream sundae today.
Or I had a deep dish cheese pizza.
Yeah.
Deep dish recipe. Okay. Think about that as opposed to Pizzagate. So we can play the same game to some degree, but nonetheless, there's human intervention. But see, the reason this is important is because you've got the Mail in the UK reporting on SEAL team movements. Don't forget, you had Geraldo Rivera drawn. Remember when he was on the beach, he drew that line and X's and O's with the troops during the Gulf War. You remember that? And they wanted to arrest him for giving out secrets.
See, that's what I think. Trump talked during the campaign. We saw with Syria also that broadcasting our plans to the media was not going to be something that his administration has done. We saw with Syria the quick response time to the alleged chemical attack,
right,
bombing the airfield within 48 hours. So I think, I mean, just looking at the headlines on Drudge, SEALs trained to take out Kim. Well, the SEALs trained to assassinate people and kill people and complete missions all the time. I think that's a headline that can just be shaped to make it as they want, you know?
And Kevin Shipp, by the way, Joe, and we had a long studio day. I want to just give my personal thanks to Eric, the tech God bless him, hardest working man I know, along with John Robertson, hardest working man I know, and Joe. He had a long day today as well. Anytime you meet a numbers guy in the first thing in the morning, it just, you know, that's not the way to start your day. And then, and I'm not talking about gambling, I'm talking about accounting. And then, thank everybody. I just want to, so many great people that we have within the Hagman family organization. John Robertson, God bless you, my friend, for all of the hard work that you do. And I want to give a special shout out to, Bill McIntosh from Acosta Media. And, he's a great guy. And let me tell you, he's a hard worker. If you want a speaker for your next event, whether it be a church or whatever it might be, contact Acosta Media, Bill McIntosh. He'll hook you up. He's a guy. You know, if you need something done, I know a guy. He's the guy, Bill McIntosh, Acosta Media. And that's on your screen for those people watching via YouTube.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
More on that later.
Yeah. Let's get into the headlines. I know that, Joe, and just permit me, and I'm gonna shut up after this, because people say, well, you talk too much. Well, okay. Yeah, so what? Get your own show. I'm Doug Hagman. You, never mind. The interview that we did with, that I did with Kevin Shipp today, in talking about the deep state, we'll address the headlines and who got to Trump. Did somebody get to Trump? It explains that, what's behind the about face of Donald Trump. Kevin Shipp from a CIA intelligence point of view. But take it away, sir.
Yeah, so we have all the warmongering with North Korea on Drudge. There's a number of headlines. China says the U.S. is not bluffing. Trump will make good on his promises and his threats. There has been a nuke-sniffing plane that has been deployed. Also, foreign journalists in North Korea told to prepare for a big event, which I believe is another nuclear test. And then there's rumors about a possible hidden submarine, nuclear submarine, in dealing with North Korea. You know, will we see some type of military action from either North Korea or the United States? I do believe so. When and how it will happen, I don't know. We'll get into more with Chad from Insurgency News.
Yep.
But there's a few headlines I want to make sure we hit. And folks, okay, go to HagmanReport.com. There's every day we put up a number of important and relevant news and political information. So make sure that you visit that daily. This one was an article I saw. We know there was a terror attack in Sweden just this week where, and it could have been much more deadly. There was only 4 people killed and I believe 80 injured. And another driver actually pulled out in front of the truck and blocked this truck from being able to mow down even more people. But you know what? Today, Zero Hedge did a great article. Sweden's largest newspaper demands ban men in cars to stop terror attacks.
And Tyler, say that again.
Ban men in cars to stop terror. This is from Sweden's largest newspaper, and they go on to say, just a matter of time before we.
Sorry about that.
No, before we were forced to write this ridiculous post, but you knew it was coming, and now the day has finally arrived after some extreme leftist has called for the banning of automobiles as a means of preventing terror attacks. And this article, and this is Sweden's largest newspaper. And this is why you may think such logic would be reserved for the kookiest of liberal activists living in an isolated commune some 100 miles away from commercial interests. And they go on to talk about the Swedish newspaper. And they say instead of cars, which he calls effective murder machines, they must simply be removed from the city centers and places where people gather if people are to be protected in the future.
How insane is this? How insane is this? You ban Muslims.
No. You're allowed to have Muslims. You can even do what Sweden does. Welcome in returning ISIS fighters by giving them free housing and welfare. I mean, they do that in Sweden. People who have been fighting with and for ISIS on the battlefield are being brought back to Sweden and giving free housing. And
oh, that's just fake news.
Check it out. It's pretty fake alarming. So, yeah, now, you know, these people,
you say,
don't blame the cult of murder. Don't blame the terrorists.
Don't blame the mindset. No, blame. So what kind of, okay, so be on the lookout for a 2013 Toyota Corolla or whatever. They even have those, or Sequoia, or I don't know. be on the lookout for a gray Ford Escalade or no Taurus. Yeah,
I mean it's just crazy.
And get me past like 71. I don't have a car, so.
And while we're talking about crazy news, before the we went live, I told you and Eric about this awesome article: Public Universities Diversity Training, expecting people to show up on time is racist. Now, there's a study done at the University of Clemson, which was allocated $27,000 for diversity training. All right,
I want this
taxpayer-funded
gig.
School in South Carolina purchased the online training materials from an outside vendor. It's a series of slides depicting scenarios with fictional characters for this diversity training. Now, they say one slide features a guy named Alejandro, who plans a meeting between two groups.
Alejandro.
Each group has a foreign
from Iowa?
Students and professors. One group shows up 15 minutes early. The second group shows up 10 minutes late. A question and answer section then instructs Clemson's professors that Alejandro would be insufficiently inclusive if he were to ask the second group to apologize for being late.
So Alejandro is a racist, xenophobe, bigot, homophobe, Islamophobe, timophobe. He should be penalized, right?
Yes.
We gotta find something on this guy.
The inclusive thing for Alejandro to do, the taxpayer-funded diversity materials instruct Clemson professors, is to recognize cultural differences that may impact the meeting and adjust accordingly. Alejandro must understand that his cultural perspective regarding time is neither more or less valid than any other.
Huh.
So,
you know what that
being,
is? Aside from total bunk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is this is political correctness at its finest.
And this is sanity.
What the commenters say. And again, this was $30,000 in taxpayer money was used for this diversity training. They're saying that it is racist to ask somebody to show up on time. And in the comment section, it didn't take long for people to make some really good points and relate it to situations that are more important in our society, like the Muslim immigration and Sharia law. How long until they say, well, this guy's a Muslim and he wants to have sex with an 8-year-old? And that's part of his culture. So it's racist not to respect.
And in all seriousness, and we can talk about this with Chad, but in all seriousness, that's what they want us to do. This is all part of the softening of our culture. We have
it's
to look
crazy.
At the big picture. And Joe, you're right. And you're right for bringing this out, because that's, again, that's a softening up of our culture. This is, they, in this article, this Clemson University is attempting to say we have to respect the culture essentially of tardiness, or that embraces tardiness as part of their culture. In fact, if you go to the Bahamas, relax, because you're in the Bahamas and everything's kind of on slow, everything's slow. So you're 10, 15 minutes late, it's not really a problem. You're in Manhattan and you're 10 or 15 minutes late, you're going to get your butt whooped. Okay. In business.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you this too, aside from being disrespectful, being late, this is my generation. If my folks told me when I was 15, 16 years old to be home at midnight, and if I wasn't home at midnight, you know where I slept?
Outside?
Outside, yeah.
Well, you know, this is part of a bigger trend, and another commenter points this out and says, you know, expecting someone to speak English, racist, and then they refer to an article. Teachers should allow Ebonics because English grammar is too hard for minorities to learn.
Okay.
Expecting results. Racist. Students of color conference turns into oppression Olympics, leads to fight.
I asked you to do this.
At what point does this become isn't it
insane?
Racist to say we need to use Ebonics because the English language is too hard, meaning you're not smart enough to.
It's an insult to the black people.
Absolutely.
To me. It's, if I was a black guy and somebody told me that, that would be insulting to me.
Because
I don't have the mental capacity to understand and use correct English.
We've gotten to We've gotten to a point where, you know, minority groups of 1% or less are being able to dictate the terms for everybody else. It doesn't, the 99% majority's feelings don't matter. Only the minority 1%. And it's becoming more, it's expanding to a level that's just out of control. Talking about time and age and gender all can be changed based on how you feel that day. I was telling Eric before the show, you know, imagine if we were in school today, what we could get away with these kind of excuses.
Because and that's,
I mean,
but the far, other,
where does this end?
But the other part of that equation is the public school system is an indoctrination program. It's not an education system anymore. Thank you, progressives. Thank you, the people like Bloomberg's and the de Blasio's and the idiots on the Department of Education. They've ruined education. And that goes back to Dewey. And just understand where this all comes from. It's a communist platform.
One of my favorite comments here is, I guess racist is now the most versatile word in the English language.
Oh, yeah. It's used without regard to any, I mean, you do something wrong, you're a racist. And frankly, I'm getting tired of it.
So you're a racist for telling somebody to be on time.
Yeah.
And, we need to ban cars, in order to stop terrorism that, terrorists who use cars as weapons.
America does not have a problem with intolerance. It has a problem with tolerance. Mm-hmm. We tolerate the BS, the crap, the insanity that the progressive, communist, liberal, Democrat mindset, the Hillary worshippers, the never Trumpers, regardless, I don't care about Donald Trump, the never Trumpers, that mindset, they're all sorry, but you're intellectually hobbled in those people who believe in themselves as doing the work of Christians where, in fact, they're just, they're not. I'm not going to get into that now. Go on.
When we come back, we will be joined with Chad B. from Insurgency Broadcasting. Insurgency Broadcasting you can find on YouTube, and he's a returning guest, and we're going to get into some current events, geopolitical news, and more. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Stay tuned.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
These uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
staff host to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. You're gonna love hearing from Chad Booksam from Insurgency Broadcast. He is just a great guy. He's up on all of the topics that we are so focused on with respect to Syria, the geopolitics of, well, the run up to World War III, or actually we're in World War III, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way, and the machinations of the globalists as they are, the machinations of the globalists, basically, and as reflected in the Trump presidency. That's what's on tap for you with Chad B. from Insurgency Broadcast. Chad Booksam. I call him Chad B. I don't know, from the original interview we did, but Chad Booksam from Insurgency Broadcast. Really go to that Insurgency Broadcast and make sure you follow their content. Insurgency Broadcast Media, Insurgency Broadcast Network. It's a great resource. I mean, and Chad is up on everything. And I like his style. I like his investigative style. I like his approach. I like his delivery. So you're going to love that. Before we get to him, a couple of announcements real quick. I believe I'm going to be on InfoWars tomorrow with Alex Jones at 1 o'clock Eastern. I think. So you can tune in there. The other thing, those people who are awaiting Steve's books from the drive from a week and 10 days ago. Again, please be patient. I'm giving all of that information to Stephen in proper form. So there was a lot of communication. Many people sent communication, which just we had to go through a lot of communication. That's all I'm going to say. So thank you for everything, and please just be patient.
We have with us Chad from Insurgency Broadcasting Network. Folks, go to Insurgency Broadcasting Network on YouTube. Chad, there's a whole lot going on. A few things where we're going to get into. Let's start with what's going on in North Korea, Syria, the geopolitical situation, and the war drums that we keep hearing about. What's the latest that you've heard on the situation with North Korea?
You know, it looks like a dangerous situation. I also want to add, Insurgency Broadcast is merging with Alternative Media Television. So my platform going forward, is going to be on AMTV, originally hosted by Christopher Green. We're actually kind of bringing the boats together on that. So, Insurgency Broadcast, just to let all your fans and your audience know, will, going forward, is going to be on Alternative Media Television, AMTV, at, AMTVmedia.com is the website, and you can also check us out on YouTube. Now, with the armada that Donald Trump just announced that he's obviously sending over to North Korea, look, North Korea is not going to last Trump's four years, obviously. They are like a spoiled kid with nuclear weapons, unfortunately. I think when he had the leader of China right at Mar-a-Lago at his White House, when he launched those strikes on Syria, absolutely to send the message that Trump does not have a problem with using military strength to solve some of his foreign policy challenges. Now, with Kim Jong-un, he is obviously seeing something coming. He saw the strikes. He's worried. He kills his own family in his own country. He's launching missiles, and it's getting to the point where I think, you know, we could be on the verge of World War III, basically.
We've seen a lot of rhetoric between North Korea and the U.S. in the past. We've seen threats from North Korea threatening to bomb a U.S. city, to nuke a U.S. city. To obliterate us and all, you know, everything in between. What do you think? It was the change from Obama to Trump? Was it the Syrian response? What do you think has changed that has increased this just from rhetoric to possible conflict?
Well, the issue is with Barack Obama, he didn't care about America. He didn't care about this country. He didn't care what happened in the world. America's leadership in the world, to him, shouldn't exist. And so he was very soft on every challenge that came across him. He talked a lot. With Trump, you have a different situation. And now since his National Security Council has been shooken, you have new people in there letting him know of the the consequences if North Korea keeps going on this path. And Trump loves this country. He's going to defend it and do what he has to do to defend it. But he has to take his information and his intelligence from the deep state. And that's the big challenge. How can he basically balance out what the deep state's telling him with, oh, are they possibly manipulating me, trying to pull me in to a war? And that's my only concern with H.R. McMaster. I think Donald Trump can absolutely, with his negotiating skills, have China probably be more strong on North Korea. But is it too late? Is it too late? Possibly. And I don't think China's going to do anything to bring rein in North Korea, because they don't want a bunch of North Korean refugees, over a million, crossing their border. And China is also protecting the South China Sea. So they want North Korea to stay there. They do not want the West right at their doorstep. And I think what's really changed is the fact that Donald Trump's rhetoric towards China and his tough stance on North Korea is going to make Kim Jong-un lash out more, which could cause a military reaction from Trump.
Yeah, and I believe it will. Absolutely. If Kim continues and actually follows through with some of his threats to start to take action, he will be, if he falls for the provocation and starts to act, we will respond. I have no doubt about that.
Okay, I got a question though.
I got Syria gas attack, but
yeah, my question about North Korea. We saw in the Mail, Daily Mail today, or UK, I think it was the Daily Mail, where they published the United States SEAL team practicing in South Korea for a takeout of the North Korean leader. Is that just a bunch of bunk? Is that just the shiny trinket to distract us? Or is that just a planted story? What do you make of that?
That doesn't feel real. How does that get leaked out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does that get, something like that get leaked out? Obviously, it didn't get leaked out that the Navy SEALs killed Osama bin Laden until after it happened. This get leaked out. But at the same time, it could be true. There's so many leaks in the Trump administration. I mean, it's like a waterfall. So, I mean, maybe, possibly. There's still a lot of Obama holdovers in the military and in the intelligence community who might be leaking out plans. I hope not, because our soldiers' lives are on the line.
See,
so hopefully not.
And Chad, let me ask you, and then I'll turn it back to you. Why in the world didn't Donald Trump go in there and just clean house when he had the chance? But why have Obama holdovers? I understand the continuity factor, the transition factor, but we're day, 75 now, or 74, whatever it might be. Come on, man. Get rid of these idiots that are from Obama that have this anti-American sentiment.
I wish I had a good answer for you on that. I wish he would purge him. The only thing that I've heard is he doesn't want to hire more federal employees, but they're already there.
They're,
he wants to shrink the federal government. Okay, we'll replace the Obama holdovers. This is a question that has bewildered me. I have no idea why he hasn't purged them all. He should have done that day one and two, first week. They should have been all gone.
Exactly.
Maybe he has the establishment in his ear. And it's slowing his draining the swamp down, obviously.
Jeez. Okay. Joe, go ahead.
From North Korea to Syria, we had the chemical weapons attack or alleged attack. What's your take on this? Because we've seen both sides. We've seen the administration along with the mainstream media basically confirm without any evidence that Assad was behind it. Personally, I don't believe Assad was behind it at all.
The investigative attitude benefits. Yeah. You know.
Well, what's your take on what happened in Syria?
There has been no investigation. They launched bombs before any facts were launched. And it's bipartisan. When you have bipartisan support for something, that's when you should worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the Democrat and Republican Party on the same page on this. Now, okay, so let's think about this. The Syrian government is on the verge of purging ISIS and a lot of radical Islamic groups from Syria. He's on the verge of winning the civil war. He's going to shoot himself in the foot by launching chemical weapons? To me, that doesn't sound right. And in 2013, it was found out after a couple of weeks that, you know what, most likely it was the rebels who committed the act.
Yep.
Look, we have a lot of radical extremist groups who want this to happen to Assad. They are going to plant chemical weapons maybe in neighborhoods. Putin was out announcing that there's probably going to be more false flags happening. But look, I don't believe what the Russian government is saying either. It's not that simple. But what I do believe is that we're doing the same thing that we did with Iraq, right?
Right.
We don't have the facts. We're starting launching bombs. It's all muddy. Everybody's on board. The media's on board. All of a sudden, Trump's getting good media mm-hmm. coverage. That's when you have to ask questions, because that looks like a deep state propagandist war to me. And if I don't see evidence that the Syrian government did it, I'm not going to believe it. Why is he going to sabotage his verge of winning? He's so close, and he just does this. Doesn't make sense.
Well, do you think it's a political move that Trump did this, maybe to set a precedent, you know, to let other nations know that certain things won't be tolerated, that he is not going to be afraid to take military action to not only silence or show foreign leaders, but also domestically here with the neocons and with the media? Do you think he was making a political statement, or do you think it was an action he took for a foreign message more so than a domestic one?
Well, strategy-wise, if he was doing it for political reasons, I mean, bombing Syria while you're sitting, you know, in your campaign promising that you want to work with Russia, you want to work with other countries to destroy ISIS, I mean, that's sending the wrong, what kind of political message is he sending? It's not to us. It's not the people who voted him in. As far as Bashar al-Assad goes, yeah, look, he's a dictator. His family's been running that country forever. A lot of people in Lebanon, they don't like him at all, because when Lebanon was trying to be a democracy, he was occupying the country, killing their leaders. Bashar al-Assad isn't a good guy. Absolutely. But, you know, that's the thing. If you're just going to send some bombs to send a political message, I don't know what kind of strategy that is. And if the only way to secure Syria is to go in there and occupy it for the long haul to ensure that these radical elements don't take it over, but this country is so politically divided, do we even have the political will to do something of that manner? And I think just launching tomahawks for political reasons is, you know, bad policy.
I agree. Now let's talk about that strike. 59 reported tomahawk missiles fired. Apparently only, what, 23 it's been reported that we're missing about 36. 36 did not make their targets. Do you believe that, or what information, what intelligence, what data do you have that you can with reasonable certainty assert that, with respect to the attack?
No, absolutely. I mean, literally, if you're on the ground, you can't really know exactly what happened. What I've been hearing from sources is that, you know, it did hit, you know, it did minor damage, right. Destroyed a couple planes, not much to the runway at all. I think it's actually back up and running.
Right.
The jets are back up and running. So, I mean, and all of what we see, it probably was just a political maneuver, because it didn't do the damage. And if Trump is listening to his military shouldn't be involved in politics.
Interesting statement. I like that. Folks, you hear that? Think about that. That's really good. Okay, you know, Kushner, Bannon,
yeah.
That whole mess. What's your take on that? What's going on?
It's sad because right a few hours before the serious strikes go, we hear this big division in Trump's inner circle. Obviously, Bannon is against going in Syria, right? I mean, obviously, he's against it. Because right when they have this big fight, all of a sudden the missiles start launching and now there's a potential shakeup. Look, Jared Kushner, he's not a nationalist. Honestly, he's probably a liberal from New York, and he's probably on board with a lot of the establishment policies out there. And guess what? He's Donald Trump's daughter's husband. And obviously, I don't think Donald Trump's going to do anything to make Ivanka mad. And I think it's that simple. But this is the problem when you start mixing family with, you know, business or family with policy. Okay, Jared Kushner is your son-in-law, but for making policy, for challenging Bannon. Bannon helped you win on a lot of his, you know, obviously Trump was on his own sending that message, but Bannon solidified the base as far as strategy goes. And now we're on the precipice of losing Bannon because his family, Donald Trump's family, doesn't like him, or Jared Kushner wants to take over, obviously that position. That's what it looks like. I hope he doesn't do it. I hope Trump pushes back on it. I hope Bannon stays. If Bannon leaves, we're in big trouble. It's no more that nationalist vision, because you already have Priebus. You have the Flynn is gone. I mean, who else is there? Who else is there? So if that goes, that means Trump is definitely switching.
Yeah, and I'm amazed as well the headlines on Drudge today. One of several changes, of course, on Drudge, but Trump essentially is embracing NATO, whereas before, you know, NATO is useless. Now, I think he called it a disaster or whatever, but now he's embracing NATO. Seriously?
You know, I think this Russian story kind of closed them in. You know, it was they did a good job, right? The media and they did a great job of just crushing them with this Russian story. I mean, it wasn't going to go anywhere. You are obviously not allowed to have a good relationship with Russia in this country. You are obviously not allowed. If you're going to run for president, you have to have Russia as the enemy. You know, in order for the New World Order to exist after World War II, Russia has to be the enemy. And if you divert from that path, you get this, oh, you're a Russian puppet spy? And Trump now has to launch missiles at Syria just to prove that he's not? And then we have to start World War III, because guess what? And now, oh, Bannon, you know, that whole president, oh, it's President Bannon. That whole issue there is meant to piss Trump off. And I'm hearing reports that Trump did get upset about it, but that's what it's meant to do. That's what it's meant to do. So right now, I'm not too happy about the current situation and path.
I don't think anyone should be... You know, we should be true to our values. We should be true to ourselves. The integrity that we talk about should be first and foremost, regardless. It is not Trump right or wrong, or America right or wrong. It is just simply right or wrong, good versus evil. And I think we have to adhere to that, in my view. So when Donald Trump veers from that good versus evil or right versus wrong mentality, or the platform that he ran on to do something that would appease the globalists, I think we should call him out on it. We need to call him out on it. We need to be vocal about it, because we would do the same thing with Hillary. Of course, everything... that's a given. But okay. Yeah. All right. We've got about 10 minutes left of your time. Man, I'll tell you, it's great. And folks, Chad Booksham from Insurgency Broadcast, who's you're merging with... AMTVmedia.com, which is, what does that stand for again? I'm sorry.
Oh, Alternative Media Television.
Yeah, like I couldn't have thought that one up or thought of that. Alternative Media. Okay. All right. Alternative Media, TV Media, Alternative Media Television.
Yeah, there's a lot of great content there. There's a lot of great content on the website. We have on demand, actually, with great interviews, great new content. It's just $5.95 a month and $59.95 a year, actually.
You know, a lot of people are going to that subscription-based model, and I think that because of the animosity, the animus that exists in the current environment, where independent broadcasters we're just getting slammed left and right, censored, demonetized. Mm-hmm. So congratulations for launching that and for being
part of
that.
That's the reason why. Just what you said right there, YouTube is obviously on a war path against any broadcasting network that doesn't abide by their worldview. So we have to fight back. And that's, you know, bringing the rafts together, creating new platforms, and, you know, just working together to fight them. It is an information war. Right.
Yeah, and I think all of the independent media needs to create an alliance of truth seekers and truth reporters, because I can see where they will hit the low-hanging fruit and some of the, you know, take shots at even some of the higher positioned alternative media platforms, but, together, we represent an unbeatable force, more unbeatable than we could be separately. So I think we all have to have this mutual aid package, in my view, of alternative media broadcasters or independent media broadcasters. But that's a different subject. But all right. So yeah, what else is on your radar in terms of the geopolitics? We talked about North Korea. We talked a little bit, or we talked about Syria. We talked about the internal politics with Donald Trump and his administration with Bannon. What about Obama? Where's he been, by the way?
Yeah, where's Obama been?
Yeah.
He's been, he's been basically, making Susan Rice feel better. He's saying, look, you're gonna take all the blame for this. You did it in Benghazi. Just do it one more time. One more time. I think, honestly, he's trying to put his ducks in a row regarding the surveillance matter. You know how, Obama is. He's very, a narcissistic individual, if his legacy gets tainted even a bit. I'm surprised he's not in front of the cameras on a daily basis. I heard that he did travel to some island to escape his wife and family for like 2 months.
Escape.
Yeah. He never brings her with her. I don't understand.
Yeah, right?
It's weird to me that he doesn't ever bring Michelle on his vacations. But I'm sensing that he's doing things in the background, obviously. He still has his people in government. But why hasn't he came out in front of the cameras yet? I'm surprised he hasn't done that yet. I would suspect to see him like every weekend and the media just running to him. What do you think about Syria? What do you think about? But right now, he's probably worried about the surveillance issue. I would hope he's preparing for that because I think something's going to come out of that.
Do you really? I'm kind of waiting for that, Chad. And I've seen a lot of comments by people saying, you know, you don't hold your breath and no one ever gets prosecuted in this country. And I have a tendency to agree. Is Sessions been quiet essentially on Hillary, and so is Trump on Hillary, on the surveillance, the outing, the unmasking of people. But I do believe that Obama will be a player in this, here. Give it a month, give it 2 months. As we get into summer, I believe that he's going to emerge as more of a community organizer for the marches and the protests. That's my view and information reason and analysis based on information I'm getting from my sources. But then again, who knows? All right. In the closing minutes we've got here, in your mind, the most important threat, is it North Korea? Is it Syria? Is it, are they going to, deep state going to attempt to, impeach and otherwise get rid of Donald Trump? Or, you know.
I think, I really think that the deep state has found a way to work with Donald Trump. I've always thought that the deep state will absolutely hold Donald Trump's foreign policy hostage for any domestic policy to be passed, just to keep the New World Order intact. As we've seen John McCain always come out, the New World Order is being is collapsing. So It looks, and Donald Trump is starting to kind of fall in that path to make sure that it doesn't. That's why we see him backing NATO 100%. I think North Korea, a war with North Korea is imminent. I think it is going to be very, very tough for America. My only fear would be the people, because in North Korea and Russia, they're united. In China, they're united. You know, they're going to fight to the kamikaze death.
Good point.
And, you know, we have a lot of, I got so many snowflakes in this country who just cry about everything. My fear is that we are on the path to a world war, and does America have the will to see it through? For all half the population who hates this country, okay, they're going to realize that this country gives opportunities that no other country will. But are they willing to die for it? And that's what a world war will find out.
Do you think, and Joe and I were talking about this, do you think that North Korea has the capability, whether by sub or naval asset, or the intercontinental ballistic missile, I kind of doubt, but to strike mainland America with a nuclear weapon or an EMP-style weapon? Does North Korea have that capability, and do you see that as a flashpoint to conflict with North Korea? Or what would conflict look like? What would the flashpoint of conflict look like?
You know, I think that they don't have that technology yet. If they did, then they got it from China. I don't think they developed it themselves. I think we are more in a situation where they can get a nuke, across the border into South Korea, or hit one of our allies in the area with ballistic missiles. As far as hitting the U.S. mainland, I don't think they're there yet, and the U.S. intelligence services have been hacking all their technology to prevent them from doing any really more tests that would help them in that matter. I don't think they're there yet, but I mean, they're already far enough. They have nuclear weapons. If they could put it in anything and hit one of our allies or us here in the mainland, doesn't matter what kind of missiles they have, in my opinion.
Okay, good, interesting answer.
Chad, we only have about a minute and a half left before the end of the segment. You mentioned the Susan Rice story, the unmasking. It, obviously, it's known that she unmasked names, and that story kind of went away with the gas attack and then the Syria strike. Do you think that we will see this resurface in the news, and do you think that at least Susan Rice or other people will be held accountable?
Well, I think that we're seeing reports that you're right, it's getting drowned out by Syria. You know, I don't think anybody's going to go to jail. I just think that, you know, people's reputations are going to get hurt. Obama's legacy will get affected. Maybe a fine. maybe a $100 fine for spying on the people's party. I don't think anybody's going to jail.
All right, my brother. Wow. Thank you for checking in with us.
It was great having you back on. And again, you are now affiliated with Christopher Green with AMTV. AMTV, and folks, go
AMTVmedia.com.
to AMTVmedia.com, and go to Insurgency Broadcasting Network on YouTube.
You'll love Chad's work.
Subscribe. I love it. Yep. Subscribe and check out all the content that he's got up there. And Chad, thanks for joining us again, and we look forward to having you on in the future. And
thank you guys.
You're the man.
It's always a pleasure. I always love being here with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Folks, we're going to be right back. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. What a great guy, Chad books him from Insurgency Broadcast. He is really on top of things. And I got to tell you, you got to pay attention to what he's saying. We don't have a clock, program clock here, so we're flying blind.
You got a phone, seconds. A watch, a computer.
Well, you see
the
phone?
Wall clock. Phone. What we don't have is our program clock that we usually have that sits right over here. That, you know, basically you press the button and it speaks the time for you.
Yeah, no. All right. Thank you.
We're
for
on
the
our way out. We'll there be right we back after this. Stay with us.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Smokeless and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove, and an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.